Will he tip the card?
I know I've said it before, but given the series of events that leads me into your studio today, Michael, I think there is something happening. There's something in the air.
We'll tip the card here.
I'll tip the card this weekend.
Nick Sharkey joins Racing Pulse to preview the big races in Friday Form Focus.
It's a very big Friday. Welcome to Mick Sharkey for Friday Form Focus. Sharknado, good meeting at Caulfield. Huge meeting, Sydney, day one of the championships. We're going to cover everything. How are you, Sharky?
Famously well, Michael, as always. You know, just got the sun out there shining down on us. Beautiful autumn weather. Did you have a swim yesterday?
I did have a swim yesterday.
Wasn't it glorious?
It is going to get cold, though. Be saying goodbye to the last of the autumn sun.
No, don't say that. It's just a reminder of winter is coming. But the week after, I think, here you go. Here's a prediction. Here's a futures bet for you. The week after next, because it's not great next week, I think we'll be back in the low 20s. I've looked at the hectopascals and the isobars, and I've done a bit of long-range sort of forecasting. I think it's looking okay.
Well, weather forecasters, and some may say Sharky's tips, there's not too much between the accuracy of those. So we will find out. You confident tomorrow, Caulfield? It's a nice little meeting.
Yes. I'll tell you what, there are two horses I've been waiting for, just waiting for third up. And I'm going to have a bet. I'm going to have a bet tomorrow.
Well, I hope you'd have a bet. We're looking forward to picking the eyes out of the group ones in Sydney as well. Weather watch will be interesting up there. I couldn't believe it was a heavy nine yesterday.
Yeah,
it is improving.
What's the game with
that? It is improving. So we're going to have a chat to the Randwick track manager a little later. But first of all, as you've said, it's been beautiful conditions in Melbourne. Mm. A little bit of rain overnight. I wonder how much fell at Caulfield. Assistant track manager Greg Groves joins us. Good morning, Greg. How are you?
I'm good, thank you, Michael.
Did you get much rain at Caulfield overnight?
Yeah, we got a bit, actually, 6.8 millimetres. So yeah. That was very handy.
So what does that mean for track conditions as we speak?
Okay, well, it's just in the soft range. So having said that, we've got our irrigators out, and I'll have a look again late this morning. We might put 3 or 4 millimetres on just to keep it in that good, get it to a good 4 range. For the race meeting tomorrow. They're talking about a couple of showers tomorrow as well, so just need to be mindful of that. But they have been known to be wrong before, so we'll just see how it all pans out.
All right, so it could be a few scattered showers tomorrow, but you're confident it'll be a soft 5, maybe on the borderline of a good 4 with upgrade? Is that what you're aiming at?
Oh, look, I'd be aiming for a good 4 with an upgrade. That's
okay.
Great during the meeting. But, we've got the irrigators out. Just going to reassess later on this morning and make a call then. But at the moment, it's just in the soft 5. So it will be improving throughout the day.
Rails out 10. How do you expect it to race with the rail placement pushed out a further 4?
Okay, yeah, we moved it out from 6. From last weekend. There was some pretty big fields last week, so there was a bit of damage. But down the front straight, it's a couple of scuff marks, a little bit of fill and a few repairs. But overall, it's pretty even right across.
All right. Any weather, as in wind, going to play a factor tomorrow, or should all be A1?
Once again, they're talking 30 kilometre an hour westerly. So that would mean a headwind down the front straight. So that could come into play.
Okay. All right, well, we'll have to say across that tomorrow. Have you got a tip for us, Greg?
Well, Don Saddle's stable is going pretty good at the moment, so I'm looking at South Parade in race 5.
South Parade from the front. All right, that's a nice little tip from you, Greg. He's flying at the moment, Sads. We'll speak in the morning. Good luck, Greg.
Okay, thank you.
So Greg Groves, track manager there, going to maybe even have to irrigate today after
getting
6 mils overnight. That wind will be a factor that may...
Sounds like it, doesn't it?
...come into play tomorrow. So we'll stay across that on RSN 927 in the morning. Sharky, let's get into Caulfield straight away because we've got 9 of the best to get through there and then we want to focus on Randwick as well. First race at Caulfield tomorrow is another runner from the Saddler stable who will be very hard to beat. Cheerful Legends, the 290 favourite. Hanam didn't have the best of luck last start, $4. He's exceptional, $4.20. And then Lucky Decision, a first starter from the Moody stable, has been specced in early markets at around about $4.60. Have you seen much of Lucky Decision at the jump outs and trials?
Seen 2 jump outs from Lucky Decision at Pakenham. and both of them have been pretty good. In the first one, he wasn't really asked for much of an effort that last 150, and he just sort of cruised along, but maintained a really good pace. And he went to the line with a couple of others, but he was probably going the best of them, I think. The second one, it was behind Lightsaber, who was fitter, you know, obviously up and about and racing and ready to go. But he chased pretty strongly behind him. He was rubbed out a little bit to go and make chase. Lightsaber had him covered, but there was a little margin back to third there. So two nice jump outs from that horse. He's obviously got ability. The thing I like is that Moody seems to be placing his younger horses to great effect. Now, when they step out, and quite a few of them have made their debuts in sort of listed grade races or Saturday class races in recent weeks, started around double figures, and they've run really well. Yep. So we need to pay close attention to Lucky Decision. I like Hunnam in the first. I thought, look, he backs up from last week. That's okay. And he's stepping up in distance. That's fine. You know, often people say, oh, you want him to stay at the same trip and whatever else. There's an extra 100 metres. I think it's negligible, that little change. The blinkers, again, I think is a key with this horse. He hasn't had a great deal of luck at his last two. He had a horse bouncing off him for much of last week's run. And before that, he couldn't get out to chase behind Crystal Bound. I think the barrier again tomorrow, he's going to be in behind horses. Be interesting to see if the rail, that inside section, is the no-go zone as it was when the rail was out, you know, in this sort of range a couple of meetings ago. If it is, John McNeil might, you know, first you see the track, probably won't be such a big deal, but John McNeil will probably have to get out and around them. If he can find clear air from the top of the straight, I think he'll roll over the top of them. He's a big, strong horse, a son of Shalar that looks like he wants 1,400, and I think he'll get 1,600 comfortably. As a three-year-old. But he's the way I want to go that in the first.
Najma, I know he got beaten three lengths, but she's...
actually a proper horse.
Najma Arty looks good for him, doesn't it?
She was the best last week. She didn't let us down. She's a very, very good filly. And look, she did everything wrong pre-race.
Why did she drift out to a pretty juicy price in the end?
I think she was getting quite warm before the race, and then she was playing up behind the barriers. And, you know, those couple of minutes that they ran late, it was because of Najma Arty. They were waiting for her to go in. So, yeah, the bookies might have been a little bit generous late in the betting there. She's a very good filly. No shame being beaten three lengths to her.
Cheerful Legend spoke to John Sadler yesterday. I thought it was going to win at the point of the turn, pulled out last start, and maybe just didn't quite run the strong 1,400. He's drawn a good gate again to get a nice run in a race of... they're not going to go that fast, are they? It's a small field. It'll be an even tempo, you'd imagine.
The other thing Cheerful Legend had to do last time was cover a bit of ground.
Yep.
You know, so a little bit forgiving of that last 150 when he hit the wall. My worry is he's doing all of this on his first prep. So he's been up since mid-January racing. What's left? Did that tough run last start, you know, what's that taken out of him? We won't know till the race is run. I'm just thinking I'll take a little risk on him and I'll play Hunnam.
Hunnam is a bet in the first at $4. SMS is coming through. If you want to ask Sharky a question, you want to have a crack, 0416 90 50
fishing
52.
Advice. Fishing's good at the moment, people.
Advice.
Get out there and get some whiting.
There's a few already worried. Tell Mick Jane Bun Sharkey to concentrate on the horses this Friday. Then there's another one saying, I don't want to distract the shark too much too early, but Apollo Bay last week and the scallop pie was a highlight. Also now, tried the Mornay and curry options. That's from the Prez.
See, the scallop pie is an interesting one. I think it's as far as pies are concerned, it's the most polarizing filling because you've got seafood, but it's often paired with, you know, if I'm eating scallops in a restaurant, they're a grilled sort of option, maybe a little bit of prosciutto, something like that, you know, very lightly accompanied. But in a pie, you've got the scallop in there with a sort of creamy curry sauce. It's a contradiction. You lose the sweetness, that natural sweetness of the scallop.
You don't want to get a bad scallop pie.
No,
you'll
you don't.
You'll be out of action all weekend.
Salamanca Market in Tassie's probably got the best one that I've ever eaten.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, not great after a hangover, particularly if you've had some red wine the night before. Probably not a good pairing if you were doing food and wine pairing, scallop pie and... You know where I'm going?
But we digress. Thank you for that SMS to get Shark
off track.
Don't
get me started on chicken pies
race
either.
Number
They've got
two.
No place in a pie.
Race number two. I'd have a chicken over a scallop any day. Race two, only a smallish field. Simply Optimistic is the favourite here at $3.20. Dollar for dollar is $3.40. Native Soldier scratched last week by Matty Raymond for today's race, and it's probably a smart move, 4.40. And Missile Mantra, who performs really well at Caulfield, first up $4.60, and even down to Fabric at $8.50. So we've only got a small field of six, but five are considered chances, Sharky.
Am I missing something here? Simply Optimistic is favourite for this race, yes?
Correct.
His last five runs, benchmark 78, benchmark 78, benchmark 84, open handicap, and it was meh. You know, Sansom and Parsifal, they're kind of listed great horses, maybe, in a weak listed race. And then benchmark 84. Dollar for dollar, group two, group one, group two, the Everest, and then the listed race behind Ancestry, where they probably just went a little bit quick for the old dollar there. But he still ran really well. I think he just wins. Doesn't he just win this dollar for dollar?
61 kilos, 2 kilo claim, so gets him with 59 kilos. I think Dino's made him his best of the day as well.
I think he just wins.
So he's $3.40. This is just a back the truck up.
Well, at the odds, $3.40 versus what's Simply Optimistic?
$3.20.
Right, okay, so he's on the blow, because I reckon he was around $2.80 when the market's open. So maybe they're sort of having a look at it and just coming to the realisation that potentially benchmark form doesn't really compete with group ones and listed races. And like, dollar for dollar's been a group one runner up as recently as four starts ago. Simply Optimistic could only dream of running in a group one. I reckon dollar for dollar at $3.40 is a good bet.
All right. What about, we've got an SMS here. Can we entertain where is the SMS? Can we entertain Native Soldier after 2.5 years off?
Oh, I don't know what he likes. Does he like the movies? Does he like a comedy show? Like, when you say entertain, what do we want to...
Sharky.
Oh, I'll get him that look
there
again.
There are some SMSs saying, tell Sharky he's not funny enough to try and...
I know I'm not funny
diverge
enough.
Diverge off the form.
Believe me, there's no... I don't have any designs on a comedy career. I just like winding people up. Look, Native Soldier, first up off such a long break. Not for me. Jump-outs have been good. He was ridden out, starting to sort of just feel it a little bit at the end of his last jump out. He was just asked to sort of hold an effort. Look, it'll be a super training performance if Matty Raymond can get him back to win first up off nearly 2 years, but nah, not for me.
Missile Mantra first up?
Probably needs a little bit further.
Okay.
Again, group one form though, so... lengthen a bit off them in the Empire Rose. It's pretty solid, and she was a Group 3 winner last start. It lines up okay for a race like this with 55 kegs on her back.
So dollar for dollar, bookmakers have got it wrong. $3.40 is a...
They've underestimated the dollar.
...is an absolute steal, and it's one of the best of the day?
Well,
you can't backtrack now.
Yeah, go on.
You just said it just wins before.
Yeah, go on.
All right, dollar for dollar, $3.40.
He needs to win, to be fair, because he hasn't won in a little while.
Well, no, he's been off for a fair while, going back a couple of campaigns as well. So dollar for dollar to get back into the winner's circle tomorrow. One of the best of the day. Race number three. This is a more open race. Superium comes down from Sydney, and I note David Gatlin, who follows the Sydney form very, very closely, has put Superium on top tomorrow, Sharky. It's a $4.40 chance. John McNeil on board. Albert gets 3 kilos off, is actually equal favourite at $4.40. Wilmot Pass at $5. Zil Contra is then out to $10. So the market has got Superium from $4.60 into $4.40 in what looks a really open race.
1.35, benchmark 78 race on a Saturday. You know what time it is. It's pie time. No bets in this. This is bleh. You know, I don't know. There are horses here that have reached their mark. They're not getting any better. There are other horses here that have shown flashes of better than average talent. Superium, Little Contra fit into that. Wilmot Pass fits into that. But they don't go on with it. You get this little suggestion of a good horse every now and then. And then the next three runs are just meek. I was a big fan of Superium at his last two preps. He would run really, really well first up. Second up, he'd get you again. And then third up is just, you know, he was just treading water. Maybe the change of scenery down to Melbourne sparks some improvement. Little Contra kind of went missing a bit towards the back end of last prep. First up run was good. She was beaten in races she should have been winning last time around,
yep.
Which I just can't forget. Wilmot Pass, likewise. I've got him on top. I thought his jump out was good enough recently at, I think it was at Balnarring or Mornington. Well, anyway, down that way. At his best, he's a winning chance in this race. Mark Zahra up, barrier 10. I've sort of looked at this meeting thinking that they might, it might not be a disadvantage to be peeling off them at the top of the straight and sort of running down the middle or at least away from the inside. So I think Wilmot Pass is drawn to do that. He's on top, no confidence.
All right, so Wilmot Pass is at $5. Just on the track conditions, from what we heard, with the rail now out 10, shouldn't be any issue the firmness, although a couple of scattered showers tomorrow. The wind, though, a headwind into the home straight could be a factor. So would you be wanting those horses who were maybe just sitting off the speed with a bit of cover?
Just a bit of cover, coming out at the top of the straight, sort of slingshotting off that corner and rolling home. I think that might work out well.
Race number 4, the Katna Jewellers, is over 1,100 metres. No early scratchings here. Garvok has been around the money its last couple. Incredulous Dream just beat it last start. It's the $4.20 favourite. Lesage was just beaten in the record-breaking 9.55 final by Sistar after doing all the work out in front. Steps up to the 1,100. Rainbeal at $5. Cordelia is a horse we've got a lot of time for. And Danny O'Brien was $2.60 that All-Star Mile day. By that stage, the track was pretty much a ploughed paddock in the last, so you can forgive that run. Freshened up, $5.50. And then I thought there was a fair bit of confidence in the voice of Brad Widdop with Switched. He said, we're going to push forward, probably go to the front, if not be right on speed. Ooh. With the Sydney mare who comes down to Melbourne at $7.50.
Well, if they're looking to push forward and lead, they might have a little speed battle here with Lesage, because she has been very quick from the gates and went along at a very, very slick tempo last time at the Valley. So possibly there's a little bit of a race on early for that front. She's a Thief is a good gate horse, likes to lead as well. Rainbill would probably be just off them. Garvok probably in the same sort of position. Oh, this is a genuine tempo here. I think probably a bit better than genuine to my read. It might set the race up and it might just temper the drop back in distance for Cordilla. Or Cordia. I'm not sure how we say it. Anyway, that track beat her last time. She was in the quicksand lanes. It was too wet for her. She was basically in reverse as soon as the pressure went on because she wasn't handling the ground. She's a much better horse than that. She will...
She gets in with 53.5.
Yeah, she will get in really well at the weights with the claim. I think Will Price might have a good day tomorrow. He's certainly got a really good book of rides. I'm not a jockey challengeman, but those out there could do worse and have a look at his rides tomorrow. She's the top pick. Rainbill, I note in the steward's report, has had some chiropractic work from her last start at the Valley when she was a little bit below expectations. She was sort of popular in the market late in betting there behind War Correspondent. Was in a good enough spot. Just didn't find anything around the corner. Her action shortened up. Clearly there was a muscle issue or a back issue there, something that they've addressed if they've had the chiropractor out. So if we can put that aside, her run to Makrura before that and her run at Caulfield is well and truly good enough to win. So you're really trusting that Anthony Chibnall's got the horse back in full health and in good form. He wouldn't be starting it in this race if it wasn't in that position. So I think they're your two in this race. Rainbill's probably more of your natural sprinter, whereas Cordilla, we know she's effective out to 1,400 metres, and that's probably her sweet spot in life. I think they'd be the two for me.
All right, Garvok should get a beautiful run in behind
him. Should do, yeah. Every chance last time I thought Garvok. I know Incredulous Dream carried less weight, but it just ran past them. And it was first up, so Garvok had a fitness edge on the horse. Fluorescent Stars came out of that race and was been able to win during the week, beating that nice horse of EJ's Lindhort.
Yep.
So the form's there through that race. Yeah, Garvok's going to get a great run. Probably your three main chances, in my opinion. I'm willing to risk to a degree those two leaders, Lesage and Switched. I think there's a strong possibility they might just overdo it.
Okay, all right. So Cordelia, is it the bet, or are you having a two-bet strategy?
Yeah, I don't know if I'm betting in this race. I might just have a ponder. If I'm winning, if the first couple have been good to me, Hunam and Dollar for Dollar, then I'll probably be back Cordelia and Rainbill.
Michael from Brisbane has sent in a text message.
Oh, mate, Michael.
Challenging your thoughts
on
dollar for dollar. He says, Simply Optimistic dropped 6 kilos, ran 103 last time. Dollar has never won at Caulfield. Better over further. I'll take Simply Optimistic.
Okay. That's fine. So far, Simply Optimistic's won a benchmark 84. That's been as good as he's gone. Just looking at class here. The other horse is a better horse. There's no denying that. The record says that. Simply Optimistic can beat him. Well, happy days. I'm not taking 280 or $3.
Maybe you should have a little side wager with Michael from Brisbane.
I don't know if I could... really, I don't know if I could handle the celebrations from Michael if he managed to get up. It'd be a real dent.
SMS asking you about Pravro in race number 3.
Yeah.
And each way, Hope at $12?
Probably. It's a million years old. Gets back, hits the line, sprint races are its go. Yeah, if you like torching money and 135 on a Saturday, do it.
All right, race number 5 is the Highland Race Colours Handicap. This is for the 3-year-olds over 1,400 metres. And this race might set up, interestingly, Ana Visto got the most beautiful run, beautiful ride from Jamie Carr last start at Bendigo, $2.60. Mozzie Monster was an enormous from the back, made huge amount of ground. They meet again, $3.40. Liddy is at $7. And South Parade, stablemate to Mozzie, is looking for 4 in a row at $7.50. And then you're at to double-figure odds, the rest. How is this race going to map? Is there going to be more pressure this time on Ana Visto?
I think there is. Yes, I think there is. South Parade looks to be... they found the key to that horse, just let him go to the front and roll. So I don't know if Matt Cartwright will be wanting to give up the lead with South Parade. Ana Visto from 2, Zara will have it right there handy. Air Defence from 1 will be kicking up to be handy. Cumberbatch won't be far away, pushing across from 9. I think there is good speed, genuine tempo, and maybe a little bit of pressure early on. So I'm thinking this race sets up beautifully for Johnny Sadler's Mozzie Monster. Third up, straight track run was okay. I don't think she's a straight track 1,100 metre horse. 1,400 Bendigo, she was too far back there. Her late splits were very, very good. Some of the best of the day at that meeting. Now, for those that are Accardi disciples, I did note during the week listening to racing.com that she's run something like plus 10 lengths better than the benchmark or something.
Yeah, she was enormous.
Now, I'm not an Accardi discipleman. The data's good and fun to play with, but that's big. It's hard to ignore that sort of number. I think third up here, this is her race. I think she'll win.
She gets every opportunity. Rail out 10, you expect them to be able to make ground okay?
I think so. Well, Rail was out 8, I think, a couple of meetings ago or something like that, and that they were sort of coming off them and running home and that the inside wasn't the place to be. I don't see why it wouldn't be any different tomorrow.
All right, so Mark Zara is a champion jockey.
Yep.
Brilliant jockey. Is there any concern Jay Carr not riding Ana Visto, and she's been the one that's been able to get Ana Visto to settle the best of any jockeys before?
Maybe. Maybe there's something to it. Ana Visto was good for Ollie prior to Jamie getting on, though. I just think Ana Visto, she only had 6 starts. She's a work in progress. I don't know if her quirks at this stage of the game are due to particular riders or if it's just her learning her craft. I'm not sure there. I think we'll learn more, probably another 4 or 5 starts when we see a bit more of Ana Visto, possibly as a mare into the spring. She's so a stakes winner now. She's done her job.
Happy to take the 340?
About Mozzie Monster?
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
One
of the best of the day.
I reckon we're going to make some money tomorrow, Michael.
No, I've
got a feeling.
I'm excited.
You're up there buying horses again this week.
I'm a Mozzie man, so I'm with Mozzie Monster. I was with her again last start, so I need to get my money back on her tomorrow. So
launch.
I did allude to John Sadler yesterday. Not that there would be any team pressure being placed, but he said South Parade is a front runner. It will be going forward. So there will be more speed in the race, which suits South Parade, but in turn will also suit the stablemate Mozzie Monster as well. First leg of the quaddie is The feature of the day, and that is the Lamaro's Hotel Galilee Series Final, and Liguero's into...
What do you do with this at $1.95?
It's into $1.95.
What do you do with this at $1.95?
Well, I tell you, it's a very promising young staying horse.
Yeah.
I thought it was a beautiful ride by John McNeil at Bendigo. Put the pedal down early, because when we spoke to Cindy Alderson yesterday, she said, people think he's got a turn of foot. Well, really, he doesn't.
No,
he just doesn't. Sustains his gallop for longer than most.
It was a great ride last time. I think Jai summed the situation up there. Mid-race, started to improve. The horse is exceedingly strong. Look at the pedigree. Fiorante out of a Galileo mare. You know it's going to stick. And that's what he did last time. He'll get further than 2,400 metres in time. I'm not saying he's any sort of superstar, but you know what? We don't produce good older stayers unless we have a program for younger stayers to come through. And this is really good, this Galilee series at this time of year, to blood these young horses. Now, we might not see them in the spring in good races, but we might see them the spring after. You never know. He is impossible to ignore off that St. Ledger trial win. Explosive Jack goes and runs in the Derby.
Yep.
So, you know, the form's there. And Salto Angel ran in an Oaks and was there in the lead up to the Oaks. So maybe beat some handy horses. If he gets a comfier run from six in this race, he really should be, you know, maintaining that and beating these again. There are a couple out of maiden races here that are probably worth looking at. Through Irish Eyes is the best of those. Not dissimilar to Liquero's win when Through Irish Eyes won at Sale. He sustained a bit of a run, was very, very wide on the corner, kept on going through the line. Good effort. Tavistock out of his Abil mare. Once again, it'll stay.
And the second horse has come up and won impressively.
Through three and a quarter or something like that during the week, through three and a half, something. So off the top of my head. And he gave TikTok 2 kilos in that race. So, yeah, nice horse. He's got some upside as well. The other horse that I want to see, and I think this fella is just a little bit slower in getting it all together, is Furioso. Now, the Terang run first up, his best work was that last 150, and he was really getting strong through the line there. Matt Kamani is getting a hold of these staying bred horses, and he's not messing around in 12 and 1400 metre races. He's stepping them straight into distances that he's confident they'll run well at. You know, it's more of that European mentality. It's working for him. If you go back and look at his results with horses that are bred to stay, he's a good place to send a young stayer at the moment, I would suggest. I think he's the other one. So probably not there just yet.
Well, he's a $13 chance.
I think he'll run well, though.
No Ruba? Didn't have the best of luck last start?
No. I think it's being overplayed a little bit. Look, he didn't have the best of luck. The run wasn't there when he wanted to take it. Was he going to be as strong through the line? I think people are just looking and say, I never got a chance. Yes, but he was still beaten nearly 8 lengths. Before that, he was all right warming up late behind Air Defence, but yeah. I don't know if that's the best form race of all time either.
So three in the first leg of the quaddie?
Let me consult my notes, Michael. I'm putting in four.
Okay.
One, Liquero. Five, Furioso. Six, Through Irish Eyes. The other one I'm throwing in here is Olivia's Game, number 8. It beat Through Irish Eyes comfortably at Cranbourne over 2000. And then the St. Ledger trial, too far back, soft track. I don't know if she really loved that soft ground. She was going the right way beforehand, that though. And Gundawindi and Through Irish Eyes, the two horses she beat at Cranbourne. I've got a bit of time for both of them.
All right, so 1-5-6-7, first leg of the quarter. If you're having a bet...
1-5-6-8.
6-8, sorry. 1-5-6-8. If you're having a bet, are you taking $4.80 Through Irish Eyes, which is firmed from $5.50, or $1.95 Liquero?
I don't know if I want to bet in this race.
Sharky, you said you were here to have a bet.
Yeah, I am, but I'm picking them out. I'm picking the eyes out. I'm not like you. I don't want to bet in Vale and everything else. Like you're sitting up till midnight throwing $10
around.
Hey,
if you've got a tip, look at Nick Quinn and Matty Stewart. Race number 7 is the Chairman's Club Handicap. This is over 2,400 metres, and we get to see Chris Waller has been slowly loading the bases like he has in these staying races in Sydney in recent weeks, and
he's got
a full house in this one. Yeah. Lord Belvedere is the favourite, $5 a field. Mohican Heights, Yonkers at $6.50, the Lord Mayor at $8.50, and then you're down to South Pacific from the Mar and Eustace Stable. I did hear Dino give a good push, the Ramaruffi Skelm, which I think it was around about $18. It's into $14 and didn't have the best of luck last start.
Look who's riding.
In the Mornington Cup.
Look who's riding.
William.
I tell you what, you're an odds man. Can you look up the jockey's challenge, the jockey's cup, whatever? Can you just look and see?
Challenge.
Can you just see what Will Price is tomorrow? I know our man Harry White loves a jockey. He's a fiend for a jockey's challenge.
Do they put the jockey's challenge out on Saturday?
I don't know. I've never had one, but I might have one. I might have one tomorrow.
All right. Well,
what's a box challenge? Oh, that's greyhounds. Anyway. Keep going.
I've asked you for your
Oh, that's right.
Win.
You did too. Lord Belvedere is probably the way I'd go. I could back two here. Lord Belvedere and Mohican Heights. Now, Lord Belvedere, that Mornington Cup was just dominated by Mount Popper from the front. Lord Belvedere had no room at all when the sprint went on. It was sort of an even controlled tempo. Then they went for home. He was on heels, really awkwardly positioned. And every time Jock went to come out and go around them, there was another horse in front of him. So he just got pushed around far too much in that race. It wasn't a good scenario for him. I think he can bounce back here. Good track horse. The one query I've got with Lord Belvedere is he doesn't... Well, his form seems to be on bigger tracks. You know, he's got two wins at Flemington. He might be that big track horse, big flat track horse. I'm just getting a text here from my man Berkey in Aspendale, who's been very proficient at the breakfast show quiz in the last month or so. He says stable like Lord Belvedere. I don't know how he knows that.
Tell us how you know that, Berkey.
Berkey, text back, please.
We are willing and open to any tips, but we need to...
Yeah.
We need to clarify and do the due diligence.
He throws some strange ones out there from time to time, Berkey. He is privy to some classified information at times. But anyway, we'll take it. Now, we have... There's a ghost in the machine.
Feedback coming into the ears here. We might have a button open, Mikey, or a line open.
Mohican Heights is the other horse. Now, we were with this horse last time at Mornington, and it hosed up. It was a really nice run when it beat Grand Promenade. Now, that'll be short later on. We can talk about it later on. But Mohican Heights, I think he won't have any problem with the distance. He's raced out to Derby trips in the UK before. He's bred to stay. I like how Waller's just given him time to find his feet. Getting onto a good track last time saw the best of him. So they're the two I want to back here, Mohican Heights and Lord Belvedere.
Well, you can back them both at the price. Do you give Skelm any chance? The Ramaruffi?
Yeah, Skelm's got some chance. These stayers, none of them are really... I don't think they're throwing forward to any great heights. Mohican Heights is only 4 years old, so there might be some improvement there up to stakes grade, you would think, at some point. But what level of that, I'm not sure. Yeah, look, Skelm, it sounds weird, but the Stony Creek Cup win was that of a horse better than that grade. He was really strong, and Stony Creek's a bit of a tricky track sometimes, so he was good there. Mornington Cup was much stronger. I don't know if he should have been a 90-1 chance in that race. He could run a place or run top four, definitely.
It's $5 the field. How many in the quaddy?
I've got just four. 1, 2, 6, and 8.
1, 2, 6, and 8. So
what price is Blenheim Palace?
Lord Belvedere. Blenheim Palace is a $15 chance.
Oh, yeah, he goes in.
You get the Dan Bowman mail as well.
Well, yeah, since we outed Dan and Ben Ascari's...
You're on the barred list.
...plot.
You've been barred.
...to skin the bookmakers when this horse ran first up and ran very well. I don't know. There's been a few curveballs I've just been getting from the stable down there.
Okay. So 1, 2, which is Blenheim Palace. 6, Norway, which is another $21 chance from the Moody stable.
Berkey said he can't give up his source.
Okay.
But he said, trust me.
And... Who's the other one? 8, Mohican Heights. So 1, 2, 6, 8, second leg of the quaddy. All right, let's rip into the third leg of the quaddy. It is a benchmark 84 over 2,000 metres. Gee, Danny O'Brien sounded confident that this was Wycliffe's day. Steps up to 2,000, made really good ground. It'll be interesting if he can sit closer from that nice gate. Grand Promenade's at $4, Independent Road $5, Vegas Night $7. Wycliffe has been the best back runner in this race.
I've been waiting patiently. Wycliffe, waiting, waiting, waiting. And here he is. ready to rock and roll. Now, I first became aware of this horse when he was running in Ascot last year in a race won by Hookham, who's quite a good horse. A bloke called Pete Summers is a really good fella. He's got a little share of this horse, and he tugged the coat and said, just keep an eye out here for Wycliffe. And the horse ran well without winning. Came out, ran at Caulfield during the spring. I don't think he'd settled in at that point. Sandown Lakeside run great. Mornington run great. He just couldn't win from where he was on settling at Mornington. Guess who rides here?
Another Will Price. I haven't been able to find the jockey challenge for tomorrow. If someone out there has it, let me know.
Will Price, I'm telling you, Will Price is going to have a good day tomorrow. He just will. I don't know where you find the jockey's challenge markets.
You'll get it tomorrow. I'm not sure if it's out today.
Wherever you find them, just do yourself a favour. Now,
I'll get Jackson, who's producing, to get Jared Daffy to give us what price Will Price is in the jockey's challenge.
And find out what it is. Wycliffe, stepping up to this distance, third up, 2,000 metres, no weight on his back. It's a really good recipe for me. A really good recipe. And I'm keen to dine on Wycliffe tomorrow. Now, Grand Promenade. I think we're getting a little bit carried away with that first up run. He can put in a good first up run. Can put in a good second up run. Typically, though, he starts winning sort of third, fourth run in. Now, here's another horse that won a few early on, and then he sort of leveled out at benchmark 78. I think he's a better horse than that, but he needs to step up and show that he's a better horse than that. I think Grand Promenade being in the race gets us a little bit of a better price on Wycliffe, and I'm happy for that. Miyake is the other horse for the quaddie. She ran in the same race as Wycliffe at Mornington, got a mile back, sort of half detached from them when they started to turn. Watch her last 200. Ooh, it was good. I don't know where they're going with her. Maybe Brisbane up to those sort of staying races up there, but with him.
He's
going to be around the mark.
A $9.50 chance.
He goes in the quad.
Is Wycliffe a bet, though?
Oh, yeah, it's a bet.
It's 390, I think.
We're betting there.
I know he's already being backed, but I think 390's
I think that's a fair price. I think anything from 380 to $4, I think that's his right sort of range. If he starts tumbling in, don't know if I want to get on an avalanche, but I think that's a fair price.
Quaddy numbers?
268.
2, 6, and 8.
We'll get this cheaply tomorrow. I feel we're going to get it cheaply.
It's going all right at the moment. Grand Promenade, Wycliffe, and Miyake are the three in the quaddy. Now, I didn't think we would get it, but Jared Daffy's confirmed it. No jockeys challenge market until tomorrow.
Do us a favour.
You might want to stop talking him up because you're going to have him opening up a little tighter than what he may.
Well, he's an inexperienced apprentice. You know, we've sort of taken our. Yeah, you know, it's a fair. There is a risk because you know you're betting on inexperience here, and maybe some of these barriers don't look favourable. But you know, I reckon he's probably he'd have to be an $8 to $10 chance.
Yeah, I'm not sure if you're going to get that. Last race SMS Brimham Rocks Sharky $19. What chance?
Last race is a raffle. Let's be honest, it's a raffle. Throw it in the quaddy if you like it. I haven't thrown it in mine, but don't let that stop me. I have been wrong before, regularly.
Well, there's no arguments there.
No.
Another one here. Not hard to like Lord Belvedere. Ma Eustace shooting 25% win, 43.8% place from 32 runners this season at 2,400. Stats don't lie. 8 winners
Mick
and 6
Egan
placing.
Somebody.
That's from Walker. So
Walker with some stats at 9:45.
I like that.
That's gross. Thank you, Walker.
Another SMS saying, I'm all over Yonkers and Causeway Girl tomorrow.
Yeah, Causeway Girl, I don't know.
The Sharky's on tomorrow.
I'm on, baby, I'm on.
No win for dollar at Caulfield, but was nailed on the line by Behemoth and a Rupert Clark a few years ago.
I think he's run two Rupert Clark
horses. He's a proven group horse. 340 is a steal, with him flying on the way to the Goodwood in a few weeks' time.
Oh, just like them. Look, I'm loving the momentum that's building here around some of this stuff. I'm just worried that we're getting a little bit too confident. There might be too much of a bandwagon situation going on here. We might be very disappointed tomorrow.
Well, how do we brush home? Because we need to get to Sydney for the Group Ones.
This is gross, this race.
Platoon's $2.40.
How's it $2.40? How? It's never won at the mile. I know it's won over 1,800. Don't at me, but it's not. I don't know if it's a regular winner, this horse, is it? We keep tumbling into it. I know it ran well at Bendigo, but something had
consistent.
To run. Something had to run on, given that consistent. Tempo. And half of those horses were first up. Well, my English King, he's looking for 42,000 metres, and Platoon's, you know, at least he was fit, and he's somewhere like a miler. I don't know if he's a $2.40 chance in this race, honestly.
So we're going to get value in the last leg.
Well, do you know what I've found myself sort of landing on here? Plenciel.
Yeah, blinkers on.
Who's always in the market. Always runs well, but rarely wins. Yeah, it's that sort of race. I don't know that I want to bet here. I think, well, you know what? I'm planning on having won enough money that I don't have to bet in the last.
But you need to get the quaddy shark. So what are we doing to get the quaddy?
Yeah, we'll get that. Don't worry, we'll get that. All right, so I think in the last, we're going to be skinny. Al Ghulail, number one. Jump out and trial, quiet, cruise to the line. Really, really nice. I liked it. I like what I saw. Platoon goes in. If he wins... He wins.
1-5.
Inverloch goes
eight
in.
At 20, six, is it? Six at $23.
Yep. Seven, Plenciel.
Seven, Plenciel.
If you wanted one more, 11, XL Man.
Oh, gee. Okay.
Oh, it's that sort of race.
$15.
Benchmark 68 horse who often carries a lot of weight and has promised a lot. And
it's not going to rain that much, is it? All right.
I don't know.
1, 5, 6, 7, and 15. All right. We'll tweet out Sharky's Caulfield quaddy. We'll also get his Caulfield play of the day just before 10 o'clock. There's an SMS saying, hit us with a three-state, three-leg, filthy multi-Sharky by the end of
four. Okay. Yeah, righto.
As well.
I'll do that.
Quick break. Sharky's got work to do. We'll be back with the Sydney Group Ones after this.
Inside the weekend's biggest races, RSN 927's Racing Pulse and Friday Form Focus.
Welcome back to Friday Form Focus. A lot of SMSs coming through, 0416 90 50 52, asking, does the Shark have a special tonight at Cranbourne? I can tell you yes.
Yes.
We'll get that in 10 minutes. He's worked on his three-state multi as well. And there's a few questions about a few runners in the Port Adelaide Guineas I'll throw at you in a moment, Sharky, as well. Update on the track. We've spoken to track manager Michael Wood. Currently, it's a heavy 8 in Sydney. 29 degrees forecast, but showers tonight. He says 1 millimetre is expected to fall, which won't affect the track, but it's just enough, in his words, to be annoying. So we were hoping it might get into the soft range tomorrow. It's a heavy 8 at the moment. It may well be
Sounds borderline soft to heavy.
Let's whip through these Group 1s, Sharky. The first of the Group 1s tomorrow is the Inglis Sires. Animo was just an unbelievable run the Golden Slipper. He's tight tomorrow. We've got to take around about $2.10. Is he the one?
I think he is.
Now into $1.90, Animo.
Whoa. Yeah, look, he's a very good horse, isn't he? He was great in the Blue Diamond. He was great in the Prelude before that. He beat a really good colt in Forbes. Well, what happened to Forbes?
He
ran first up and then nothing happened, and
he won a trial by about 8 lengths, and then he had a disappointing Friday night run, I think it was. So they put him out.
Okay, well, Forbes has a lot of ability. We just haven't seen the best of him yet. Oh, just the form. The slipper run was massive. I think he's the one. It's a bit microphone-y, isn't it, Animo? You know, Microphone came out of that slipper and ran so well and then just rolled around here for fun. It might be that sort of scenario for this fella. So
is it that slipper form that dominates, four moves ahead, the danger?
I think that's probably the way it goes. Yeah, interested to see how Lightsaber goes up to this grade. Wet track, not sure. Tiger of Malay was a really good run too in the Pago Pango. So he'll be thereabouts.
And Richard Friedman did give Tiger of Malay a very nice push when we spoke to him up at the sales earlier in the week as well. So $1.90 favourite Animo in the Inglis Sires. Modophilia. Can she beat the boys in the Derby? She's the 370 favourite. Skylab, who ran really well in the Guineas, is at $5. Lions Raw, $8.50. And then the Kiwi, Rocket Spade, is at $9. And the Victorians, Quay Quay, Young Verta, the next in the market at $10 and $13.
And then you've got the form out of the Talloc last week, which continues to produce, you know, winners
last
and, well, quinellas and things
winners.
Like this out of this race. So from that race, Yowton was very good. So he was up there to be beaten. He's a big sort of lanky horse, free running, staying tight. Yaletown was great. I think he's in the mix somewhere as an each way chance. Prompt Prodigy was great, coming off their heels, finishing off strongly. He will run the trip. Favreau just lacked to turn a foot, but he stayed on okay. Barrier probably puts him out of contention here, I'd have thought, 16. I've been on Skylab for quite a while at inflated odds, so that
what
means...
What price did you get Skylab?
I think I got $18.
Did you?
Yeah, which means it probably can't get the job done. He's my top pick, though. I think he gets a much better run than he did last time in the Rosehill Guineas. He was three wide, no cover throughout, and he was still trying to fight and kick back on Moonga over that last 50 metres. It was the run of the race. I know we all fell into Montefilia. Oh, wow.
She ran well.
Yeah, she did. I don't think she should be favourite ahead of Skylab. I'm backing Skylab. Again.
I was going to say, you've already backed
Skylab. In for a penny, in for a pound.
What do you make of the Kiwi, Rocket Spade?
Looks okay. The Kiwi Derby form usually stands up here, doesn't it? Generally speaking, though, they have a run here. I know he went back to a mile and won a set weight penalty race pretty easily. He looks to be better than average. He goes in your quaddie if you're having a quaddie.
And I thought Quay ran really well last time.
Was super. Wasn't he tough?
Yeah.
You know, left in front of the top of the straight, kept fighting, kept staying on. Yeah, he was really brave. He'll run a nice race for the Kamani team.
All right, but you're sticking fat with Skylab.
I sure am.
Main danger?
Main danger, bad luck.
Flex. Race number 8 is the TJ Smith. Nature Strip is the favourite. Punters are sticking with Nature Strip. Gee, Chris Weller was confident when we spoke to him at the sales, and J-Max since come out and said, we cannot get this horse any better in the TJ Smith tomorrow. Bivouac's at $4. Been a bit of specking for Bivouac. Eduardo, Joe Pride, thinks he'll just win again. And Masked Crusader was ridiculous what he did at the Valley at $7.50. And just repeating that news, we have lost Hawkbury on Ur, which is disappointing. That's one of Jay Carr's Group 1 rides, which has gone. This, for mine, is the most intriguing race of the day.
Talk about some heavyweight horses with heavyweight spruiks behind them.
I love it.
What about James Cummings? You missed the best one.
Well, Libertine.
Can
yeah.
I just read this quote to you? His Easter weekend track work suggests a jaw-dropping effort is on the cards. Jaw-dropping. That's as good as I've heard, I reckon, for a while.
I love it. It's just like a prize fight. And that's what all of these gun spreaders are, with the best country spreader tag on the line.
Uh-huh. You know what? We take such pride in our sprinters, our speed horses. It's great to see a whole bunch of them lining up here, the absolute elite. They're going to go head-to-head. There's not a dominant horse at the moment. They sort of take turns, you know. Eduardo's having a good run at the moment. He's won a couple in the row. One was a handicap, I will say. It's a super race. I think I have to back the jaw-dropping track worker.
Libertini, you've always been in love with Libertini.
No, I'm backing Bivouac here.
Oh, Bivouac.
I'm backing Bivouac.
Bivouac.
Performance. No, don't give up on him. I just don't think things have worked out.
Hubert Bowman to make the difference?
Yeah, and some given the ground. We know that he has performed well with his toe in before. What price Bivouac?
Too short for me. $4.
No, oh, I don't know about that. I don't know about that. Classic win. I just keep going back to that. That was a very, very good win. If you look at the best performances of all these horses, Bivouac and Nature Strip still stand up. They're the benchmarks, I think.
They were, but he's put in two below-par performances.
Yeah, but you've put in below-par performances from time to time. You're still a gun.
Hard to bounce back.
You're still elite.
What about Masked Crusader? Oh, I thought his run was spectacular at the Valley.
Yeah, it was.
And he ran really well beforehand up in Sydney. He likes to cut out of the ground.
He does.
High speed. Made for him to run.
Finishing off.
750.
Yeah, he's a great chance. He definitely goes in your quad. You probably have to take a handful, all right, I'd say, in this league.
Doncaster, Mooga 2, $4. Moonga, $8. Avilius, $11. So many chances. SMS, I'm falling back into Cascadian here, guys.
Oh, yes.
Have I lost my mind?
No, I love it. He's such a villain, Cascadian. Like, he is always running on. He's never winning. He sucks you in every time. You'll sit there and say, I'm not backing Cascadian. All he ever does is run on. He never wins. And you know what? When you're scratching around, you've got a little bit in your pocket. There's $10 each way, always finds its way onto Cascadian. Now the Jamie Carr factor. I'm going to have something on Cascadian for sure. Because you know what she does? She gets these sort of horses to focus and she gets them to perform. If that works with Cascadian, we'll all be kicking ourselves afterwards if we're not on. You must have something on Cascadian. I think Mugatu is the starting point. Like for a wet track miler, I don't know what's going on with the handicap in this race. Why is there a 56 kilo top weight? Like it seems a bit strange to me. But anyway.
Well, because Mugatu hasn't won a Group 1.
Yeah.
He's won an all-star mile.
It's just odd that we don't have a 58 top weight in this race. I just found that odd when I was looking at the handicap earlier on. He's your starting point and a must for the quaddie, but I'm going to bet around him a bit. Cascadian and Aegon is the other horse I'm going to back.
You're giving Aegon forgiving.
Oh, absolutely. He had a tough run in that Randwick Guineas. He wasn't at his best. Look at his soft track form, unbeaten 5 for 5. If he is a very, very good soft tracker / heavy tracker with the 53 kilos and that turn of foot, he might be something to beat here. I think Aegon and Cascadian are the way I'll be playing.
All right. Aegon and Cascadian, $12 and $14 in the Donny. And is that the four Group 1s? Have we done the four Group 1s? We have.
You're driving the
bus
here.
So there we go. Anything else at Randwick in the undercard you like?
No.
All right.
No. Skylab is just carrying the weight of a nation. It's carrying the weight of Shark Nation.
SMS has just come through. Sharks just ruined my day finding out he's on Skylab at the big odds.
I'm sorry to do it, but you know what? I don't think we have anything to worry about. I think he's the best stayer in the race. I think he'll win. Have faith.
Ray from Waverley says Rock is the value.
Rock.
Cascadian could get
Rock's
shunted
worse
back
than
from
Cascadian.
Gate 3. Third up, Rock is the value. All right, now
Rock
Sharky.
Does the same thing. He is Cascadian.
Best in Sydney.
You're back in the same horse there.
Skylab is the best in Sydney.
Yeah, I'm with Skylab.
Caulfield.
Yep.
Best couple.
Mozzie Monster, Wycliffe.
Mozzie Monster, Wycliffe at Caulfield. I like that. SMSs here, a couple of them. Chica Fuerte, Port Adelaide Guineas over in South Australia. She's a pretty firm favourite over there.
Yeah, so she should be. I think she'll be very, very hard to beat there. Very hard to beat. It's a bit thin, the old Port Adelaide Guineas. Like, look at Let's Crack a Deal, who's a solid sort of 1,800, 2,000-metre horse. Confrontational, your boy. What's the male there?
They're happy with him, really happy with him. We just haven't seen him fire. He hasn't had the best of luck. Tomorrow, we want a quick Adelaide Guineas. We don't want it to be a jog trot because the further the better. Once he gets out plus 2,000, I'm not dropping off. $41, $8 a place. I've got to have a little something on him, but
you'll have to.
I concede that there are horses in much better form than him at the moment. There's another SMS asking about Monte Pollucciano. Do you give that any chance? It's a 50-1 shot in the Port Adelaide Guineas?
Nope.
Okay. Time now for the three-state filthy multi. No, that can be last.
Okay,
three-state
right.
filthy multi.
Rightio. Chica Fuerte would kick off there.
Okay.
We're going to run with Caulfield, Mozzie Monster.
Mozzie.
And Skylab, of course.
Skylab. All right. There
You'd even play Skylab each way if you like.
There is the three-state multi. Now, tonight, best of the night. And you bounded in here saying, I've got some money makers at Cranbourne tonight.
Well, Ramanaskis accosted me when I got out of the lift. And I don't know what's going on in his world, but he seems desperate for cash at the moment. So hopefully this can win because I think Rama's a little
There's a few shorties tonight.
He's a little bit hard up at the moment, Rama. Race 2, number 2, Imprinted.
Race 2,
really good
number 2.
First up for Adam McCabe. He's got a future. I think he can win. He's short, but I think he'll win. Race 5, I'm not sure of the price on this horse. Number 6, Otis. What price is Otis?
$12, Otis.
Ah, that's a good bet. Each way, that's a good bet. I don't think he'll miss top
three. Race 5, number 6, Otis.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
They're the two. All right, I like it.
Nothing at Kilcoy or Gilganger or anything like that. The box has been a little bit quiet of late.
No, he's been KO'd.
He's coaching.
His last couple have been below par.
Funny you mention that. He's coaching a rugby team up there at the moment where he's fitness coaching, and he sent through some footage of their boxing training during the week, and a very, very little man landed one on him and put him on his backside. So for a bloke who was a professional fighter, I think he needs to have a good hard look in the mirror where his life's at the moment.
Last one on the way out.
Yes.
When are you going to announce the service fee for Fierce Impact? from Leneva?
Next week, having a meeting today and should be ready to go next week.
All right. Give us any exclusive?
Oh, Monday, can I do that?
All right, we'll talk then. Sharky, have a good week.
You too, Michael.
Sharknado, Friday form focus. Don't go anywhere. More winners to come with a Victorian form preview after this.